swiftly. So they risked their life for that video for you tonight. Well, my name's Simon Holly. I'm going to be speaking to us just for a few moments at this carol service. I actually really like carol. I really like carol services. I really like Christmas. And one of the reasons is that I am one of the few people in the world who actually likes cracker jokes. I really look forward to the cracker jokes. And you probably won't be aware of this because you're perhaps not so into cracker jokes as I am, is that every year there are actually national finals of cracker jokes across the nation. And there were some last year, and I've got some of the finalists here. Would you like to hear them? Yeah, some of you would, and the rest of you, you're miserable lot. Anyway, so the finalists are two Ariels meet on a roof, they fall in love and get married. The ceremony was rubbish, but the reception was brilliant. Another one. Very good. Now, Christmas in Star Wars land, Darth Vader says to Luke Skywalker, "Luke, I know what you're getting for Christmas." Skywalker replies, "How?" "Because I've felt your presence." Very good, get that one. That's good. That was in the final. And what do you call a woman who delivers puppies? A midwoof. I like that one. I'd not heard that one before. And what about this one? A train full of tortoises crashes into a busload of terrapins. It was a turtle disaster. Very good. Well, we wanted this service just to take a few moments to look at and explore the real meaning of Christmas. And one of the best words that sums it up is this word hope. And that's our theme for tonight. Because there is hope deep in the human heart. There is a need for hope deep in the human heart. And we spend our lives, many of us, looking to put our hope in different places, as that video showed. Houses, family, relationships, career, entertainment. But the resounding message of Christmas is this: God has come in the form of Jesus Christ. And because God has come, we can have relationship with Him. We can encounter God Himself. And there's an old Christian song that goes like this. It says, "On the rock of Christ I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." It's as if there's no other hope that can hold our weight like Christ can. I wonder if you've ever received a gift at Christmas that has totally changed your life. You've ever received a gift that's completely transformed your life. We've got a little family tradition in our family at Christmas, which is when we give someone a present, we say, "If you don't like it, I'll get you something else. Don't put it in the back of the wardrobe." And the reason we say that, it's a bit of a negative way to give a gift, I know. The reason we say that is a few years ago, my dad and my parents went to stay with my sister, and they had a nice Christmas together. And when they left at the end, my sister was clearing out their room and found in the back of the wardrobe all the presents that she had given to my dad in the back of her wardrobe. And apparently my dad is not alone. It's a bit of a sore subject in our family still. And so that's why we say the thing. And apparently my dad is not alone, because when asked what they do with unwanted presents, 31% of people said, "I hide it in the back of the wardrobe." Would you believe it? So is that what you do with yours? I think where my dad went wrong was hiding it in the back of somebody else's wardrobe. I think that was the problem. I think most people hide it in their own wardrobe. The point is this: the only gift that you will ever receive that will totally, totally transform your life is the gift of Jesus Christ. That is the only gift you will ever receive that will transform your life. Isaiah the prophet spoke about Jesus coming 700 years before he came. And in detail, he spoke about Jesus' life. He talked how he would be born of a virgin. He said in detail how Jesus would go on to die. And he prophesied that Jesus would become a king whose kingdom would never end. It would continue growing forever. And he also made this interesting statement he said about Jesus. He said, "The nations will put their hope in him." The nations will put their hope in him. Some of us, we've put our hope in all of this other stuff, in all these other things that we've talked about already. But it's not delivered. It is not delivered for us, the thing that we wanted it to. Perhaps our house is not what we'd like, or our family situation is a disaster and you're not looking forward to it at Christmas, or your marriage is in trouble, or maybe even over already. And we've put our hope in these things, and they have not delivered for us. I was an atheist before I became a Christian, and George Bernard Shaw who was one of the most famous atheists in the 20th century, wrote this shortly before he died. I've got the quote up on the screen. "The science to which I pinned my faith is bankrupt. Its councils, which should have established utopia, led instead directly to the suicide of Europe. I believed them once. In their name, I helped destroy the faith of millions of worshippers. And now, they look at me and witness the great tragedy of an atheist who has lost his faith." Listen, if the things that you hoped in, if the things that you put your trust in have failed you, then Jesus promises a hope that does not disappoint. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 5, "This hope does not disappoint us because God has poured his love out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit." This hope does not disappoint us, it promises. Listen to this extract from someone who became a Christian at the King's Arms earlier this year. I've got it up on the screen here. "I was brought up to have no religious belief, but since I've become a Christian, knowing God and his forgiveness has given me a new peace that I haven't felt in a long time. It has prompted a passion for life that I've never had before. The more I worship him, the more I can feel God's love flowing through me." You see, this is why the nations will put their hope in him. They put their hope in him because he does not disappoint. And I'm not saying that everything will be easy and nothing will go wrong with your life when you put your hope in him. But fundamentally, over the long haul, people who put their hope in Jesus Christ, he does not disappoint. Some of us have put our hope in stuff and it has delivered for us. Perhaps you have a great family. Perhaps you have a strong marriage. Perhaps you have all the gadgets you could desire. Perhaps you have a great house and you live in a great place. Now, for you, these things have delivered for you. And Jesus told a story of a man who was exactly like that. And in the story, the man had all this stuff, and he said, he kept all this produce in barns, and he said, "I'm going to tear down these barns, I'm going to build bigger barns." He had so much stuff, he was overwhelmed with it all. And in the story, God speaks to the man in the night, and he says, "My friend, your life is up. Tonight you die. Now what's going to happen to all this stuff you've been saving up? Who is going to get it now? What's the point? Don't just enjoy the stuff, enjoy the giver of the stuff. Don't just enjoy the stuff, enjoy the giver of the stuff. He's the source of everything we put that we have in our lives. We must put our hope in us. The problem for many of us is that we have so much to be thankful for, but no one to be thankful to. So Isaiah prophesied that the nations would put their hope in Jesus and that he would usher in this kingdom that would never end. That's what he said. What does it mean his kingdom would never end? What Jesus said to his followers, he said, "Go, take this message of the kingdom." He said, "Take it wherever you go. Lay hands on the sick, preach good news to the poor, deliver those who are spiritually bound up, set them free, bind up the brokenhearted." And that's why at the King's Arms every week we pray for the sick and see God break in. You can look on our website and see the stories of just this year, the ways God has broken into people's lives. Migraines stopped, backs healed, neck pain disappeared, depression broken. Story after story of God breaking in and touching people's lives. We even had a story this year of a little boy who had epilepsy. He had 20 fits between the January this year and August, and he was diagnosed in September as being epileptic by a specialist at Adam Brooks. He was prayed for at the beginning of September, and he has not had an epileptic fit since. We're believing that God has completely set him free. You see, this kingdom of God, it will never end. It will never end. It will never stop. It will keep on going. That's what Isaiah was saying. It's going to carry on and on. And in Romans 15, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." What's his point? This hope-filled kingdom will overflow in every area of your life if you enter it. It will transform every area of your life. It's not just hope, it's peace and joy that comes. I called the people who who provide our telecom service, our telephone and broadband, a few weeks ago, and I called them and I said, I am not happy. I said, I'm not happy. And if you're a customer services representative, you're going to be feeling for the guy on the other end of the phone. And I said, I'm not happy. I said, I'm paying more and more each month for the same service that you're giving me, and I'm just not happy. And then I uttered the words that fill the heart of any telecoms salesman with dread. I uttered the words. I said, I'm thinking of going to TalkTalk. And it's the words that I could tell, and there was silence. I thought I heard a sob. And then suddenly he geared himself up. He sprang into action. He said, but sir, you don't need to do that. I can give you this package and that package. I'll add this bolt on and that option. And I'll give you this for free and that for free. My kids will come around at the weekend and clean your car. Whatever you do, do not go to TalkTalk. Don't worry, sir. And I know comparing the kingdom of God to Virgin Media is I'm on shaky ground. But my point is this. When we hope in the kingdom of God, we don't just get the basic package. We get all these extras that get thrown in into the pot. But I don't know about you. When I used to think about God, I used to think about, there was always like this barrier between me and God. I used to think about this kingdom and about what God represents. And there was like this barrier between me and him. And I couldn't quite reach it. And even if you look at the most basic commandments, you know, the Ten Commandments, man, they are tough. I don't know if you've looked at them. I mean, Command 9 says, do not lie. I mean, ouch. You know, I don't generally lie. I've not lied tonight. And you'll be pleased to hear that. But I don't generally lie, but sometimes I lie. Sometimes I lie. And what do you call someone who lies? A liar. Thanks a lot. Where's my friends? A liar. And so the Bible says no liar can enter the kingdom of God. And you know, command number 7 says do not steal. Now, I do not steal. Your wallet is safe here with me tonight. I do not steal, generally. But you know, in my life, I have stolen. And the Bible, what do you call someone who steals? A thief. You're getting into this now, aren't you? You're liking this. And the Bible says, no thief can enter the kingdom of God. But I'm okay on commandment number six, because that says, do not murder. And there are no John Does under my patio, I can assure you. I don't even have a patio. But I have never murdered anyone. But Jesus said, even if you hate someone in your heart, you have the seed of murder within you. So I'm a liar. You liked me up until this point, didn't you? I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I've got the seed of murder within me. And no wonder there's this barrier between me and God. No wonder there's this barrier to getting into this wonderful kingdom. Have you ever wondered why one of the wise men brought myrrh to the baby Jesus? That's the stuff they used on dead people. It's like having a baby's christening and a guy turning up in a hearse. You're like, pack it up, buddy. Get out of here, you freak. You're like, what are you doing? Bringing that to this baby. This is the reason Christ came to die. This wise man prophetically was declaring what Isaiah had prophesied 700 years ago, that Christ came to die for you and for me. Before this kingdom could come, before this hope could be revealed, before this joy, this peace could enter people's lives, justice had to be satisfied. My sin, my shame, your sin, your shame, your guilt had to be washed clean. That's why he came. And I remember the night that I gave my life to Christ. It was a hot night in the middle of the summer, and I was just wearing my boxer shorts. And I urge you, if you become a Christian, try to do it fully dressed, because I was in my boxer shorts, and whenever I tell the story, I kind of feel like I ought to refer to that. So try and be fully dressed when you become a Christian, if you do. So anyway, that was just an aside. But so I was in my boxer shorts, and I remember just the weight of this barrier hit me. I'd been an atheist up to this point, but I'd kind of realized over the last few weeks that it just didn't hold water for me. This whole thing had to come from some kind of intelligent source. It just couldn't be chance. I just couldn't reconcile that in my mind anymore. And so I'd abandoned. I, like George Bernard Shaw, I was an atheist who'd lost his faith, and I was in this land of wanting to encounter God and his kingdom, but there was like this barrier between me and him. And I felt the weight of all the things that I had done. And so there I was in my boxer shorts. And I knew my parents were believers. And I went into their room. I knew that I had to just tell them. And I went into their room and I knelt on the floor. And I told them the whole sorry story. Now, you know that something is authentic when you're 20 years old and you find yourself on the floor, on your knees, in your parents' bedroom. You know, something is authentic. There was something of God that happened that night. And as I knelt there and I wept and I told them the story, they prayed for me, as I'm going to pray with you in a moment. And they prayed for me, and I gave my life to Christ. And I stood up. I'd gone in with this weight, this shame, this guilt, and I stood up a free man. I felt it come off me. A spiritual thing happened, an encounter. He exchanged my filth, my junk, for his righteousness, his cleanness, his purity. There was like a divine transfer that went on. He dealt with it all in that point, at that moment. And it's, I didn't know everything. I didn't know all the answers to all the questions. I still don't. But 17 years on now, in my walk of faith, it's been tough at times. I could never go back. I could never go back because it's totally transformed my life. And there's no other way into this kingdom. This barrier has to be removed. The message of Christmas is this: there is a hope for every single one of us here. A hope to cling to. A hope that will go on into eternity. Doesn't just end in this life. There is a hope for the future. There is peace and joy packaged into this kingdom. That God has come for each one of us so that we can encounter him and live with him, have a purpose to live for and something to die for. That's the message for each one of us. That he has come that we